Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Isn't this a sports show?
Sure, it's been very good so far tonight, has it?
I disagree.
This show's not. I'm not gonna even be defensive about it. This show's just not been very good tonight.
I disagree.
The first show I did was good.
I disagree.
And I think I
almost entirely.
Wow, that joke stunk.
I thought it was pretty good.
That was not funny.
I liked it.
I didn't.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Hot diggity darn. I could absolutely put my face into a plate of barbecue and eat it like a piggy out of a trough right
yes.
Now.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
The good news is whenever I hung my head in shame there, I did find the pen I was looking for. It's fallen into my lap. So that's a pretty big victory for all of us.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
What a day. It's just been a day already. We've still got a lot of day left here on tonight's edition of Almost Entirely Sports. Thanks for being here with us for it. I'm Joshua Briscoe with Rudy Salazar. The two of us will be with you here for the next 3 hours. We'll have lots of help from two guys named Matt. And we'll talk about Chiefs Bills. We'll talk about Chiefs everything. But it's just been a long day of not great Chiefs stuff at a really bummer time. And so we'll start with the serious here today, and then we can, you know, have a free path to Chuckle Town again or whatever. I don't know where this show usually ends up. If this show takes you to Chuckle Town, thank you. Thank you for letting us take you to Chuckle Town. But I woke up this morning to the first report coming out of Willie Gay Jr.'s arrest last night and some of the details of that. And I was kind of around that today. We had Chiefs press conferences and everything. Paid attention to all those. Kept an eye on everything happening. Updated the Willie Gay story. We'll get you the details on that if there's something that maybe you haven't had covered for you in the last 12 hours or so. Maybe you're getting the news this way. I'll give you more of that info in a second. And then we got to about, I think it was about 3:30 this afternoon. First report comes out. The Chiefs have signed a player to a reserve futures contract. And kind of the bonkers thing about this is that they signed two players, and I do not remember, nor did I recognize, the name of the second guy.
Didn't even know there was a second guy.
That's typically how these deals work.
Recognize the first guy's name.
You almost never really recognize the names in the reserve future deals. It's usually guys that essentially you want to have around the program. Guys that you want to have in training camp next year.
In theory, the Chiefs have signed three guys that I know of to a reserve contract deal. Guy who I don't know of.
Uh-huh.
Guy who I do know of.
Uh-huh.
And white wide receiver who I can picture, but no idea who his name is. I just assume he spent time with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Don't know if that's true.
Doesn't matter if it's true.
Just assume he has.
That's usually how these types of deals go. Now, some roster changes over the last couple of years, obviously spurred on by COVID, has changed that game a little bit. Practice squads now, you can have veterans on it. Remember the old days of like 3 years ago when you could only have
six or eight
practice squad players and they all had to be under a certain service time.
Now Derek Dieter's going to get 20 years in the league.
He could literally be on the Chiefs practice squad for 20 years. And I don't think those rules are ever going to change back. It doesn't make any sense to. They basically, the practice squad expansion has basically resulted in expanded rosters, which is good for more jobs for NFL players. It's good for more flexibility for NFL teams. And I can't imagine that that's a place where owners are going to put their foot down and say, I cannot spend that extra $500,000 annually.
I was going to say, that salary, it's not even that, right? If guys just on the practice.
I mean like for the whole expanded practice squad.
It's nobody is going to complain about it, and it helps everybody out. It allows you to bring a veteran in midseason who can actually help the team out, but not have to force him on the active roster while he learns the offense.
Yep.
It allows you to have guys in the system who know the system for injuries and whatnot. Like, it's a win for everybody. And like you said, and then more players have jobs. Like, it's just a win for everybody.
It really is. And that's, you know, that's the practice squad expansion. I do think that's somewhat relevant here because, again, expecting those rules to not change, you might have spots for practice squad players next season as well. Recently, the Chiefs signed a cornerback named Josh Jackson. Not the KU one, but the one from the draft you may remember. The Packers ended up taking.
He'd be a better safety.
Than the KU player?
The KU player would be a better safety than corner. Because he's kind of a hard hitter, I would say.
So
he's a bit like a car. It's kind of like how I would describe it.
So subtle.
Can really just, you know, truck, you know, opposing receivers as they come across the middle. Might stick a leg out once or twice. Might get in trouble with that. But, you know, you take the good and the bad.
So they signed that Josh Jackson to their practice squad midseason. Top 50 pick, I think. Not a first rounder, but a high second round pick. He went right before Breland Speaks.
I loved. Side note, Josh Jackson was the type of player who, like, I wanted the Chiefs to draft Josh Jackson was coming out. Loved Josh Jackson.
No, I did too. And they did end up with him on the roster. It was just the practice squad a couple of months ago, and they released him from his practice squad contract a couple of days ago. Now, you may know that the Chiefs have a type. Whenever it comes to cornerback reclamation projects. Mike Hughes, they sent a sixth rounder and got back a seventh, right? Late round pick swap to bring in a former first round pick that never really found his footing in Minnesota. I think that's been relatively successful. He's played. He had one great game. He's had a lot of okay games. DeAndre Baker, first round pick with the Giants. He gets cut because of what appears to be some like crazy robbery scheme. Ends up being found out to have been an extortion scheme towards him and a fellow player. So the Chiefs bring him in. I would say him breaking his leg at the end of the year last year really, it makes it impossible to know how this season would have gone otherwise or even what he would have potentially done in the playoffs last year. Who knows? But he's been a healthy scratch a number of times this year. Makes me think that That experiment hasn't necessarily been a win. It hasn't hurt anybody either. And then today, again, later this afternoon, after press conferences and everything, when some of the wire items were coming through, the report comes out that the Chiefs are signing former Raiders first-round draft pick cornerback Damon Arnette to the reserve futures deal. Now, again, this is forward-looking. This is about having him around and seeing if he can be something for you next year. But the surrounding circumstances as to why he is a free agent right now, or was a free agent. He briefly signed with the Dolphins, by the way. I forgot about that until today, that he was on the Dolphins practice squad, and then practice squad contracts wound up, and then the Chiefs stepped in. There's no guarantee that Damon Arnette's going to be terribly long for the Kansas City Chiefs roster. I don't know. The part that I want to spend some time on today is still a couple of steps down the road, but I want to get us there one step at a time. So, the Raiders cut Arnette in November. This was shortly after all of the Henry Ruggs stuff. And also after all of the John Gruden stuff. And the Raiders just had a year. But they waive Arnette after this video comes out of him, and you know, it's like selfie, you know, vertical video, front-facing camera video of him with a couple of guns. One of them is like cartoonish. Like, I genuinely don't know what the purpose of that one was. That's not me being like a gun prude. That's me knowing that there is no reason for that thing to have two extended magazines to each side. It looks, if it was a Fortnite weapon, you'd be like, come on. If that dropped in Warzone, you'd be like, no, this is, what are we doing? And those are the only two first-person shooters I know. Actually, Fortnite's third person, so never mind. It's Warzone? Oh, no. So, it is this self-recorded, selfie mode video of him pointing these guns at his phone and threatening, presumably, whoever the video is meant for, saying, I'll kill you, come over, pull up, give me your address, I'm 5 minutes away, I'll kill you. Lots of more profane ways than that. And eventually that video gets out, and it is tough. We can circle back to the actual content of the video, because there's going to have to be a lot of parallels here that aren't going to all line up perfectly. But it's an awful look and a stupid thing. I don't think anybody's going to fight me on any of that. And so Mike Mayock, no longer the GM there, but was the GM at the time, they waive Damon Arnette. And he said at the time, we spent significant time and resources to help him. We can't stand the video of Damon with a gun threatening to take a life. There is significant concern. This is about Damon Arnette as a person, I think, even entering the process. There's a significant concern. It's just as important to me that these guys are good in the community as well as good football players. You can watch the video for yourself. Also, there's a lawsuit for a alleged hit and run. And there was a report from Ian Rappaport in November that Damon Arnette, over the course of his rookie season, crashed 4 rental cars over the course of roughly a month. And that just seems impossible. That doesn't make sense to me. But I think the thing that has really set in over the last few hours of this for me has been not even really about bringing Damon Arnette to Kansas City. I'm going to be very kind first. Generous in my expectations and everything and understanding. He did not kill someone. He did not shoot anyone. It seems that none of these mini auto accidents resulted in anything truly tragic. There may have been an injury, and the one that's resulted in a lawsuit, that seems like that's also got to play out still. It's embarrassing. It's a bad look, and again, it's a series of what seems to me to be pretty indefensively foolish behavior. And in a pattern of stuff like that, somewhere in there has to be concerning, right? Wreck 5 rental cars in a month, shame on me, I think is how the saying goes. But if the Chiefs wanted to come out and say, we wanted to give, as a young guy who made some mistakes, we talked to him, he knows these are mistakes, he's got something in place to where these will not be repeated mistakes that he will make again. The legal system is going to play out on the lawsuit with the car accident, the alleged hit and run. But we think that he as a person has grown and has more growing to do. We think that he'll help our football team, and that's where we're at. If we got some form of that, and I would prefer for it to be in a lot more detail than the vagaries that I just laid out, because that wasn't any real information. I don't know any of those things, I'm hoping. And I'd also like for there to be someone to answer those questions and some follow-up, some specifics of why this was a move the Chiefs needed to make and a move they needed to make today. But if you bring all of that to the forefront, I really have some understanding for that. I'm open to that. But now twice today, the Chiefs have failed to rise to the occasion in terms of putting their voice on something that required it. The Chiefs have no commented all day today on Willie Gay. Steve Spagnuolo was asked about him a couple of times. Spags deferred to Andy Reid and, you know, said he loves working with Willie Gay. That's all Spags should be asked to do there. This is not a critique of Steve Spagnuolo at all. He is not in a position to be the voice of the franchise. he is in a position to answer questions about the defense and defer to Andy Reid on anything bigger than that. That's what his job is right now. Not a critique of Spags. But he shouldn't be the highest-ranking member of the Kansas City Chiefs to talk today. Today was coordinators and Tyrann Mathieu. None of those guys can answer the question of why again, at this point, this hadn't happened yet. But none of those guys can answer the question of why are the Chiefs bringing in Damon Arnett. None of those guys should have to answer the question of what's going on with Willie Gay right now. And Andy Reid will talk tomorrow, and being over Zoom, maybe he'll talk a little longer than a usual Friday. Maybe he'll address some of those things. I expect him to be very vague on a lot of the Willie Gay stuff, defer to the legal process, say he's glad everyone's okay, and, you know, hey, well, could he play on Sunday? I think he'll say, we'll see how that goes, Herbie. I don't know that it's Herbie that would ask the question, but it just seems like the punctuation there. And I'm ahead of the actual timeline. Maybe tomorrow something can surprise us. Frankly, I would be pretty pleased, or at least not if not pleased, I would be pleasantly surprised if we find out that tomorrow it's going to be Andy Reid, and then instead of having a couple of players that we've talked to already the last 2 weeks, Brett Veach on the Zoom. Not even that he needs to be, like, absolutely flame-broiled for this, right? This is not a grilling that I'm advocating for. What I'm asking for is for someone to put their name on the choices the team is making right now. Because otherwise, you're doing two things. You are leaving it untouched and up in the air and out there for everyone to wrestle with on their own, and you're letting other people fill in the blanks of your intentions. And those are two things that you should not do to a fan base, to your own team, for your own organization. And again, this is not them signing a guy that you know, did seriously injure or kill someone. This is them signing a guy that has made a series of remarkably foolish choices. But also, they've chosen to bring him in after also not being a particularly good cornerback, which is kind of another little tweak on it. If he's an all-pro, do the Raiders cut him? I don't know. If he's an all-pro, is he available right now? I don't know. Can the Chiefs make him an all-pro? I don't know. That is sort of an element of this. And also, now this is the bleep we're talking about before the game of the season. Like, this feels like we're getting the AFC Championship game a week early. And that's not fair to the Titans and Bengals, but it's what it feels like. One of these games is Chiefs-Bills, and the other one is Titans-Bengals. Either one of those teams could be either one of these teams next week. I'm going to get out ahead of that one. But this is the game with the stakes, with the superstar quarterbacks. And we're going to have to sit here for a big chunk of this first hour tonight talking about Willie Gay and Damon Arnett. Whenever the Chiefs, and these are apples and oranges and all sorts of different fruits. These are not all direct correlations, but I want you to see where it can be done better, where the Chiefs have even done it better. John Dorsey and Andy Reid had to put their name on Tyreek Hill. Say, hey, we believe in this guy. This is going, I understand that all these questions that we're going to get asked, but we're going to make this call as a person and as a football player. And in that window of time where it looked like there might have been another Tyreek Hill-based thing, that would have been something the Chiefs would have needed to answer for. They ultimately did have to answer for Kareem Hunt. Whenever they traded for and extended Frank Clark, they were there at the table in the big interview room for the introductory press conference, and Frank Clark had to answer questions about his college incidents. And I'm not trying to dodge the details of it just for the sake of keeping it moving. You can look that up if you're unfamiliar. And the Chiefs had to answer those questions. This has happened for a number of guys. I mean, they bring in DeAndre Baker. I thought DeAndre Baker ended up having to face more questions than he deserved to, because the end of that process was that he was the victim there. Like, he actually probably could have been asked perhaps better questions. I'm not singling anybody out, but like, that is a even more different wild situation. I have zero interest in ruling that people only get one chance after a mistake or something, which also this is kind of a sidetrack, but I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there real quick. It's why, like, the entire idea of cancel culture is kind of nothing, because for the most part, speaking in generalities, as a society as a whole, if you make a mistake and then acknowledge your mistake and can, like, own up to it and then apologize for it and then put something into place that will either keep you from making that mistake again or that you understand why what you did was wrong. We love giving out second chances to people. I don't know if that makes us feel better, or if there's something that person might be able to provide for us, or because we hope we get that whenever we all inevitably need second chances on things. But the idea that, like, somebody had, like, a dumb tweet whenever they were in high school, and then now they're going to get cut from their team, that's never... We have literally running jokes about some of those incredibly problematic moments that never meet any particular consequences. Shout out to who was it? Who's the quarterback? Who's the Bills quarterback?
Oh, he's Giants now.
Giants quarterback. That's what I meant. Probably
Jake Fromm.
Shout out
to
Jake Fromm.
He was the Bills quarterback when he was drafted.
There
we go. That's all happened. He's now currently a Giant.
Red, white, and blue color schemes. Some of his texts would infer that blue and red were his second and third favorite colors out of that color scheme. But he's still getting a paycheck to be a quarterback because he's good enough at it to stay in the league. Maybe just barely, but as of right now, he is, despite all of that. If you were to ask me, should the Chiefs have signed Damon Arnett today? Now, you know what? If you would have asked me if the Chiefs should sign Damon Arnett, period, or I guess question mark, I would have said probably not. Risk-reward doesn't make sense to me. I would just, you know, spend a draft pick on a cornerback this year for once, make a in the first 2 days, see what that feels like, just try it. I would probably not be the team to trot Damon Arnett back out there again. But I would have said probably not. If you asked me, should they have signed Damon Arnett today, with the Bills a couple days away and this entire Willie Gay story, which we still haven't really talked about, with all of that unfolding over the course of the day today, I would have said no. That is an objectively bad idea. It's a bad look. It's a bad time. Somebody else beating down the door to add Damon Arnett to a reserve futures contract? Maybe. Maybe so. But this is, again, this is where it comes back to for me. It's not that they brought him in, and it's not that it was a bad day to do it. If you ask me, should they have made this move today without having anyone to speak on it on any level, where we all found out about it from a Field Yates tweet and a transaction report, and then we're all left here to talk about it and try to figure out what we think they're thinking, what could work out, and you know, maybe they're not worried about this and that, but they are worried about that and this, and that was the worst of their options today. And my guess is that Andy Reid in his press conference tomorrow will say, you know, he lets Brett handle all that, thought he was a good player, you know, hope he can get him some help or whatever, and then that'll be it. We might not talk to Brett Veach until the combine. And I don't even really care if it's Andy Reid or if it's Brett Veach or if it's Clark Hunt. It won't be Clark Hunt. Even a statement. Put out a statement on your Twitter. At least it put something with your logo on it or with one of the faces of your franchise speaking to it just to tell us where you're at, how you came to this conclusion, why this is a move that you thought made sense. And again, a lot of this could change tomorrow. I'm guessing it won't. But I think that something that really digs in and really bothers me on a deeper level is that they are both happy to play the side of, you know, Chiefs in the community, part of the city. We want to set these examples on this, that, or the other thing. But also, when there's a chance to sign a player that I hadn't thought about since the Raiders cut him, that you're going to sign because you think he might maybe be able to fill Charvarius Ward's spot if he hits free agency, be able to fill that spot in training camp next year, and you just leave everyone else to guess about that, I think there's a little bit of a disconnect there that I'm a little bit surprised by and definitely a little disappointed by. I understand that it's a weird gray area because Arnett doesn't have a, you know, like a conviction for something that, like, mandatory must be addressed. And also isn't just your average reserve futures player. I know there's gray area in between there, but I think the Chiefs had and perhaps still have an opportunity to do better with that space than they have to this point. I think that was a misstep today. Just, hey, we did a thing. You guys can guess why or why not. We just did this. And that comes after having nothing organizationally about Willie Gay today, which is also complicated and gray area and all of that. But you can't just opt out of that part of your role organizationally and as one of the faces of your franchise, whoever it would be you would want to put out there. Someone should be willing to speak about that. Someone should want to speak on those things. So it's not just the Chiefs have no comment twice in 12 hours. A little surprised, a little disappointed, maybe a tiny bit hopeful that there will be something tomorrow. Again, we'll hear from Andy Reid tomorrow. And I'm also pretty bummed that the first half hour of tonight's show is about a guy who was playing for the Raiders in early November and not about Josh Allen coming to town. We will talk about that some, and I got to talk about the Willie Gay thing. We'll cover those two things in this first hour. Then we'll have Matt Connor of Arrowhead Addict on FanSided. He'll join us at 8, and then Matt Verderam, also of FanSided, will join us at 9. We'll have dueling mats for the second at two, or the second and third hours of the show. And over the course of this first hour, I'm going to talk about all of the things that I wish we didn't have to talk about today. Sometimes that's how it goes.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You know what the bend don't break kind of reminds me of?
Sure.
It's like procrastinating on a paper.
Yeah, I feel that.
It's like, yeah, it may work some of the times, but Then there's that one time that you're doing the paper and it's like, oh, it's 4 a.m. and then all of a sudden Dak Prescott runs in for a touchdown.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Okay, so one down, one to go on just sort of the everything else happening front. The Chiefs brought in Damon Arnett, talked about him last segment. We might touch on that with both Matts we'll talk to over the course of the show tonight. But the first piece of news of the morning, and then maybe mercifully we'll get to talk about the freaking best game of the year. Just a couple days away, folks. Just start here today. Willie Gay Jr. news was out this morning that he was arrested overnight and in jail overnight, and then he had his hearing this afternoon. The gist of it, and most people at this point might know, he was arrested in Overland Park, booked in the Johnson County Jail on a misdemeanor criminal damage charge. Charging documents say that he damaged a vacuum cleaner, a wall, and door frame during a confrontation with the woman that we now know to be the mother of their shared child. They, based off of her testimony today, are not married, do not live together. Those are two questions just asked by the judge that she said no to in both instances. So I was going to say we don't know what got to that point. But the and this is a point that that our friend Seth Kaiser, who is also a lawyer in addition to doing his work for The Athletic and the Chief in the North newsletter, we did Times Ours earlier today, and he mentioned this. This from Max Max Lepsettler. There we go. Representative for Willie Gay on like an agent level and not a lawyerly one was Seth's assumption here. He said Willie was at his son's house visiting. He and the mother got into an argument during which he broke her vacuum. No one was touched. Nothing happened beyond broken appliance. She called cops about it, and they took him on misdemeanor destruction of property of less than $1,000. Likely just pays a fine and replaces the vacuum. Nothing more. All should be resolved today with no further issues. Now, that was a statement from Willie Gay's side, which also should make the point that getting one side's statement is not a good way of judging things like this. Not exclusively, right? But what Seth mentioned earlier is that his representative just pled guilty for him in a statement that he was, like, passing around to reporters. Willie Gay's representation was like, yeah, he did it, but here's what he did. It wasn't as bad as it might have been, but he did definitely do that. Well, then Willie Gay, in his hearing today, pleads not guilty. Again, Seth's assumption is that he got lawyer advice, damage control sort of advice. There are two sides of that that I would like to at least mention here. One is that he has since been released from custody. He was not at practice today. Against Steve Spagnuolo was the only one that kind of had any authority to speak to that, and he mostly deferred to Andy Reid. Lebo tweeted out that Gay's next court date is scheduled for March 2nd. That was in the hearing there as well. And that's, I think, the most important information in terms of like what you need to know, sort of wise. The couple of things here. One is that obviously with the extent of the charges being this way, we're working under the assumption that the accusations are true because his representative said they were. And also that this is the extent of them. There is not any charges about, you know, physical assault, which is always what you're worried about whenever you get the first sentence of a story like this. So on some level, like, that is not good, but better than the first thing your head would jump to. Also, saw a couple of people mentioning this on Twitter, thought it was a good point. Worth mentioning now, it's also not funny or like not a big deal. I'm Switch chat. I'm looking over here right now. You guys have been good so far. Twitter, I'm not even going to try because Twitter's ahead of me. We're not making like.
I think Twitter might be down also.
Oh, you know what? Good. Maybe good.
I think I'm pretty sure Twitter is currently day to day.
That's probably for the best.
Second to second, however you want to phrase it.
We're not making vacuum based jokes, okay? I'm just telling everybody that. We're just not gonna. That's not put. Here's what I would ask you to do, is to put yourself in a confrontation with a person angry enough to destroy a vacuum. That is a scary, bad situation to be in. I am not assuming Willie Gay's motives. I am not assuming. I'm trying not to assume anything other than what we know through documentation and also through Gay's representative confirming some of those things. There's a lot of gray area. There's a lot we don't know. There's a lot that we're perfectly fine to withhold judgment on. We do not need to have a take. I don't. You don't. Nobody needs to have a hot take to pair with any of this. You can just take the info that we've got and you can just live with that right now and acknowledge the fact that it seems like it could have been worse just from some other similar situations that have happened, and it also could have been better because it could have not happened. I will say that I was surprised to find out that that you can be arrested and held overnight for a vacuum, a door frame, and damage to a wall or whatever. Seth went through some more of this for more lawyerly terms, so please don't hold me to lawyerly standards, for I am not one. But he mentioned some of this on the podcast earlier, where that can change from area to area, and that in Minnesota it's something along the lines of, like, you need to be considered a threat to continue causing harm or have caused harm to someone or something along those lines to ultimately book someone and hold them overnight and everything. You have to listen to Times Ours to get Seth's actual explanation there. I'll tap out before I get something really wrong. And so that, the details of this around the Willie Gay arrest were a little bit curious to me, just because I didn't, you get Willie Gay arrested at incident with child and the mother of the child, and you start wondering, again, what's going to be in this story whenever I click it. And also, no one needs to pump their fist and play this off as some grand victory, because it wasn't worse. I think most people probably understand that it is not whatever happened wasn't good. Not a good situation. And I think we will be able to come back around on some of this in a little while longer. Hopefully in early March. My hope is that something gets figured out amongst the two of them that works for their child. Like, that's a tough start for a really young kid, right? You just don't know the turmoil that could be there, and maybe that's not repeated. Certainly you would hope that. But you can treat that seriously without, while also acknowledging that we've had worse stories come across our ticker, but this is still not good. I imagine that I don't want to say I imagine, because that would not be true, I don't think. I hope that at some point we get to talk to Willie Gay. It might require the Chiefs winning this weekend and then having him on the Zoom call some point next week. I don't know that the Chiefs would be particularly in a hurry to get him to a podium. We didn't talk to Frank Clark for like 6 months, and then his first press conference was really insightful and helpful. With Willie Gay, and also him, talking about some of his mental health struggles, he seems like a person in really limited... I'm projecting a lot. But he seems like he's willing to put some of that stuff out there. I wouldn't be surprised to hear from him at some point, if it's through an agent or a lawyer or a press conference or whatever. They probably won't have him talk while there's still active litigation going on, so maybe I should let that go. And to this point, to my knowledge, we haven't heard anything from the mother's side. So it would be good from a media angle to hear directly from both of those sides. It might be better for the family for none of us to hear anything else about it. Whatever ends up being decided there, obviously, just hope for the best for them. The wild left turn off of this is, so do you think Josh, do you think he's going to play on Sunday? And I don't know. If I had to put money on it, I would say that, again, maybe Andy Reid gives us a glimpse tomorrow. My assumption is that Andy Reid's statement tomorrow is going to be something like, well, we'll see how it goes, Herbie. I think it's just that Herbie's got such a good punctuation name. We'll see how it goes, and see how I practice. He's out here with us today. We've talked to him about what happened. We'll see how the next few days go. My guess is you're not going to get anything definitive from Andy Reid on that front tomorrow, but anything that's not definitive, I think, also probably points to him playing, because every day that passes is one day farther away from the thing that we're all talking about. So, we'll have no choice but to wait and see, but that's where my hunch would go. I don't know anything definitively, but we'll have to find out.
It's hard to say or know, and the reality is there's so little that we do know right now, because this isn't... Andy Reid never talks on Thursday, so it's not surprising that he didn't talk, but we're not going to know anything until he talks.
Chaotic Warrior said, I said I could be wrong, but I believe in order to get diversion, he had to plead not guilty. I feel like I remember that from somewhere. That's totally possible. Again, I will not pretend to even be, I'm trying to not even pretend to be friends with a lawyer, which is about as close as I could get to getting Seth's advice.
Plays the friend of a lawyer on the radio.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So I don't know how the inner workings of that all went. The sort of agent statement to legal statement discrepancy, I think, is mostly Seth going, this was a bad first step. But I also understand being in the shoes of his representative right then, and you have a bunch of people asking, you know, did he hit her? And you want to try to clear that up, but would have been better ways of doing that.
Yeah,
probably.
That's obviously a very big thing. Like, yep. It doesn't make that, like, oh, what he did's really not that big of a deal.
Right.
It obviously is. There's just once you initiate physical violence, you have taken a big step.
It escalates.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So definitely, it makes perfect sense if you're Willie Gay. You want that out there.
Right.
That, hey, there was no physical violence, especially right. like in 2022, right? Like we've seen a pressing, you know, that become more of a big issue, mm-hmm. right? Actually, you know, holding players accountable to a degree,
right? Right.
We're not great at it, but still right. by any means. There is more of an effort, I guess, much better than it was 5 years ago. Still very, very bad.
Yeah.
But it's understandable, obviously, you want to make sure that's out there.
And also, Deshaun Watson was active for 17 games this season. On the active roster. Healthy scratch. I saw some people tweeting about, like, yeah, could he end up on creep. The... Say that again?
So, well, he was just a creep, you know?
Right, yeah, that was probably all. Allegedly.
Best case scenario. For him.
Yeah, by a lot.
Which is never a good
That's
sign.
That's really
best
generous.
Best case scenario is like, oh, dude's just super creepy. A bad best case scenario.
God, we could spend the rest of this show talking about that. So it never came up on the show, but like there were the reports of like some non disparagement clause, and I'll get sign this and I'll give you money reports coming out. Remember, wasn't there like a really, really strong statement by someone in Deshaun Watson's camp about how there would absolutely be no settling?
His lawyer said that. Yes.
Yeah. We said at the time that that was nonsense.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that if you don't see it in front of you, you might forget about. And, now here we are. Back to talking about what team is going to trade for Deshaun Watson this offseason. Yeah. There are levels to it. I think everyone understands that on some level. And this just the dual threat here of Willie Gay and Damon Arnett being a couple of storylines around the Chiefs today. Just, you know what it gets you? It gets you about 50 minutes of clumsy gray area talk radio when it could have been 50 minutes of us talking about Chiefs Bills or much more likely something completely unrelated. That's what it gets you. So I hope we hear something from Andy Reid on that front tomorrow. I don't know. It'll be substantive, but I can hope.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We're in the pit of despair of the Chiefs.
I'm not... The pit of misery.
Dilly dilly.
Sorry. I don't even like that commercial.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I forgot about that commercial. Present me forgot about that commercial till past me reminded me of it. Guess it's a good commercial because it's stuck. That will always forever be in this brain somewhere. I'll be 85 and someone will say, dilly dilly, or the pit of misery, dilly dilly. And I'll instinctively smash a Bud Light, I guess. I don't know. 85. Pretty generous. Hey, how about this? You want something for free? You want a free thing that you can have right now? I'll tell you how you can do it. Let me tell you what it is. We're giving away a few. Right now we're going to give away two, four packs of tickets for the Kansas City Comets game coming up at T-Mobile Center this weekend. They're bringing the party to the big one. They are playing at T-Mobile Center downtown. Power and Light should be incredibly fun. If you want to win a four-pack of tickets, you have to be caller's number 6, and 9. At 913-3810-810, call 913-3810-810, and we'll give away 2 4-packs of tickets to the Comets game at T-Mobile Center coming up this weekend. You got to get your name, your email, and your phone number. Rudy, that's also me telling you, name and email and phone number. And you can get a 4-pack of tickets to the Comets game at T-Mobile Center. I see phones ringing, so I don't have to say it again. 913-3810-810. We'll give away a couple more later in the show. I don't know if we'll do them over the phone, if we'll do something else. Get a little wacky with it. Take care of our Twitch and YouTube and Facebook viewers. I'm not sure. We'll figure that out. But whenever we come back right after this, we'll talk to Matt Connor of Arrowhead Addict about a whole bunch of Chiefs stuff, including, believe it or not, the game this weekend.